I'm Tosif. I'm from Indiana University. I'm here to talk about our paper, Addressing Physical Safety, Security and Privacy for People with Visual Impairments. This is a joint work with Professor Apu Kapadia, Professor David Kendall, Professor Kay Connelly, and our graduate student, Patrick Schaefer. We all are from Indiana University. So our group are really interested about how we can help visually impaired people to improve their safety, security, and privacy. First, I'd like to clarify that in our work, visual impairment is not total blindness. It is significant sight loss that cannot be corrected with corrective glasses. Here are some examples of visual impairments that are not total blindness. So there are more than 285 million people in the world who have visual impairments, and only 39 million people are totally blind. So visually impaired people face several problems while interacting in the physical world, including managing their safety, security, and privacy. Sighted people can easily monitor their surroundings. They can easily assess it and can take precautions, which might not be possible for someone who has visual impairment. So consider this example, a person who may be sighted withdrawing money from an ATM. So if someone is just looking at them, he can take precautions. He can check whenever he has concerns, but that will not be possible for someone who has visual impairments. So a person or an attacker can easily gain sensitive information from a visually impaired person by just standing beside them, and they cannot do anything about that. They have these concerns, and they cannot take anything for that concern. So like this example, they have other safety, security, and privacy concerns, but very few works try to address those concerns. In fact, we didn't have a good idea about this concern until very recent. Few researchers tried to understand the privacy and security concerns in the context of device usage. And our recent work first looked into the physical aspects of privacy and security concerns and identified some concerns like eavesdropping, shoulder surfing, lack of independence, and impression management. In that study, we also discussed some technology ideas like giving them the number of people nearby or any particular people nearby, or helping them with shoulder surfing might help them to manage their privacy and security in a better way. But that are just some ideas. We didn't know how we can feed those ideas in new technologies or like available technologies. So in this study, we dig deeper and we wanted to see how we can implement those ideas in available technologies. We particularly focused on the wearable technologies because these devices are generally cheap and its hands-free nature is kind of convenient for someone who has visual impairments. So we started with this idea, how can wearable devices address the privacy and security concerns of visually impaired people? So to answer this question, we interviewed 19 participants who had visual impairments. 9 of them are male and 10 female. Our participants have different types of visual impairment. 8 of them were totally blind since birth. 5 had low vision since birth. And the rest of the participants developed impairments later in their lives. They came from a diverse population and diverse age group, ranging from 18 to 60. Now, one thing to mention. Most of our participants were from an urban population, and most of the participants were from San Francisco Bay Area, where the crime index is much higher than the United States average. Therefore, while we are talking about privacy and security scenarios, they talked about safety concerns. And we realized that our targeted technology can also address the safety concerns. Our previous study was conducted in a small college town in Bloomington, Indiana, and where our participants didn't have enough safety concerns. But this time, we had lots of safety concerns. So that's why we modified our research questions while we are taking interviews. We first looked into what are the privacy, safety, and security concerns of visually impaired people, then how do they currently manage it, and how wearable devices can address not only privacy and security, as well as the safety concerns of visually impaired people. So we did a semi-structured interview, and most of the interviews were conducted by one researcher. We asked about the demographics, and we presented some safety, privacy, and security scenarios. And then we asked about several design recommendations, like what types of information they want to manage their privacy and security, then which devices will be useful, and how to interact with that device, and how we can provide feedback. The interviews are recorded and later transcribed, And we used iterative coding process using open coding. We created a codebook after analyzing a couple of interviews. And our codebook has 7 groups of concepts. That concepts are our findings, so I'd like to move towards our findings. So first, what are the physical safety and security concerns of visually impaired people? So we identified 4 groups of safety and security concerns. They have safety concerns on the street. They have safety concerns while taking public transits. They have also safety and security concerns in ATM booths and their private spaces. For the sake of time, I will discuss these 3. So safety on the street is an universal concern. It is, also sighted people also have this concern. But it is more risky for someone who has visual impairment. People might follow them in the street and they cannot know anything about that. And they can be an easy target for someone, for an attacker, because they cannot often visually describe the attacker to the authorities. In our studies, we found at least 2 participants who felt that people are following them on the street, and 2 other participants who are mugged from the street. And their concern can easily be understood by this comment. When I go for walks, I have been followed. And so basically, because of how society is today, I don't go for walks with my guide dog, because I don't know who is around me. And I think that is much more debilitating for me than anything that we have discussed. Not knowing my environment, not knowing who is around me, and if something happened to me, I wouldn't be able to tell anyone. So one possible solution for their concern on the street is to just take public transit. Unfortunately, they have safety concerns while taking public transit, because they have to wait for the public transit, and which is kind of open, and that can be an easy place to attack them. And in fact, that happened to one of our participants, as she explained. I was in a waiting spot to get a paratransit van, and somebody came into this area. I thought there was someone there, but I wasn't sure. And then someone else came up and said, "Did he do anything?" And I was like, "What?" And so I was right, there was someone there. Another concern that was mentioned by most of our participants was while withdrawing money from ATM booths. And I have discussed the shoulder surfing concerns in ATM booths. It has also safety concerns, as explained by this participant. "I don't think it is safe to use ATM. We walk, so I can't get into a car. So if I use an ATM to get $20, I could walk down the street and get mugged. So why should I go to an ATM showing everybody that I'm getting money or if I'm making a deposit?" So these are some concerns that we have noticed. Whenever they're mentioning about their concerns, then we asked, like, how do they manage their concerns? And we have seen that they have adopted 6 behaviors that will help them to manage their safety, security, and privacy concerns. And again, for the sake of time, I will discuss these 3. The rest of them will be found in our paper. One extreme example of managing their concern is just to avoid. Our participants avoid certain situations. They avoid using devices. They don't want to walk on the street because of their safety concern. They don't want to use the ATM. Even they don't want to use devices on public places. So as this participant said that whenever it's about safety, he don't like to use his device in public places because in that way, nobody can actually access to it. Another extreme way to manage their concern is just to relocate themselves. Whenever they have to give their personal information to someone, they try to find some place where it will be more safer, it will be more private. And those who have low vision, they have to use screen magnification, which can be visible by anyone nearby them. And for this particular participant, he always tried to give extra effort for relocating. He always tried to find a corner and always tried to put himself back against the wall so that nobody can shoulder surf them. Finally, one kind of sad way to manage is like just accept the fact that they have this disability and they cannot do anything about that. Our surrounding environment is too visual. So they have to fill out their forms, and they have to ask someone to fill out those forms, which kind of invading to their privacy. So they have to give this information, and they don't like it. And their helplessness can easily be understood by last line of this participant. "So our privacy, we don't have any privacy." And we have seen similar vibe to our other participants. And another participant said, "I guess over my lifetime, I have developed an assumption that someone is there. I kind of say to myself, if I walk out my front door, someone can hear me." So we have seen some ways to manage their privacy, safety, and security concerns. And Now here comes the question, like how we can help them, how we can develop a technology which might help them to protect themselves from eavesdroppers or help them to manage their privacy, security, and safety in a better way. So we think about like maybe they don't need to avoid some situation. They might not need to relocate, and they might not need to give extra effort for relocation. And finally, they don't need to they don't need to accept the fact that they have this disability. Maybe technology can help them. So we thought about this system which might help them to manage their privacy in a better way, kind of giving the same level of awareness that a sighted person have, as a sighted person, we can always monitor our surroundings. So using cameras, the visually impaired people might achieve that level of awareness. Using that cameras, we can extract some desired information, and from the extracted images, the system can analyze and give the feedback. But we have lots of questions to answer here. We don't know which devices will be more perfect for the user. We don't know what information are desired, and we don't even know that from those desired information, how we can extract images, how we can compute feedback, and how we can give feedback to the user. So as a first step, we have tried to answer these two questions, and I'm going to discuss those. So there are many options for monitoring surroundings. There are smartphone cameras, there are web cameras. Now head-mounted cameras are coming out to the market, and also some of the life-logging cameras are available. So we wanted to know which device will be more convenient to the user. And we found that visually impaired people prefer wearable and discrete cameras. They want something that is less noticeable because they don't want to look weird. And if they are looking too much weird, then it might draw attention towards them, and there is also a safety concern with it. Because as this participant said, if my camera is too visible, then someone might want to steal my camera by knocking me over. So we have seen that they're kind of interested about the wearables, and they want some discrete solution. Then the next question, what information is desired? And our participants said that these five groups of information will be useful to manage their security, privacy, and safety. How many people are there? How close are people to me? Who is in my vicinity? What are the people in my vicinity doing? And who was around me? I'm going to discuss some of this. So one concept that our participant described, the idea of privacy bubble. Like it's kind of a territorial bubble around them, and they want to know what's happening inside their bubble, the number of people inside the bubble, and if they're a familiar person, then they also want to know who is the person. And the radius of the bubble can vary between participants, and it can vary from 5 to 10 feet. And obviously, they want to know what are the people in their vicinity doing. Like if someone is paying too much attention, they want to know about that. As we can see in the guy in the back, they want to know about this situation if someone is paying too much attention. Finally, the most interesting outcome that we didn't anticipate, that is forensic capture. They want to record and preserve images to have evidence when their or other safety was compromised. Often the authorities need visuals. They cannot have that. In those cases, cameras can be used to provide their visuals. They want to store this information for their system. As this participant said, she wants to have a notification, and from that point, she wants to capture in every 50 to 30 seconds interval. So if something happened to her, then she can give those images to authorities for forensic purposes. Another interesting idea mentioned by one of our participants, he wants to find where the surveillance cameras are. In case that person is in an unsafe neighborhood, he wants to do everything in front of the cameras. So in that case, if he is robbed or if he was mugged, then he will have a chance of fighting to figure out who the person was. He wants to use the cameras as his friend. So we started with these ideas, like how we can develop this system, how we can implement this system, and we had lots of questions yet to be answered. We have filled up some gaps, and we have an additional part, like which in some cases the images can be sent to authorities. but we still need to find answers for other parts. We don't know how we can extract images based on this information. We don't know how we can compute feedback, and we don't know when we need to send it to the authorities and how we can provide feedback. Maybe using other modalities, not only audios, or like using vibration, we can help them about, we can notify them about any unsafe conditions. But there still need to do more research on this area. Computer vision technologies are coming, advancing pretty fast, and we hope that it will have something really soon. And our group is still working on this idea, and we hope that we'll continue working on this area. This study is funded by NSF. So in conclusion, we found that visually impaired people have significant concerns about their physical safety in the context of crime. As a result, they develop several coping mechanisms. And we suggested a camera-based assistive tool and some design suggestions to improve their safety, security, and privacy. We don't have anything yet, but we hope that our work will motivate other researchers, and we hope that we'll have some technology for them to help them pretty soon. Thanks. I'd like to invite questions.
Hi, Raghav Sampangi. I'm from Dalhousie University, Canada. I don't have a question, but I have a suggestion for you. You might want to check out Microsoft Cognitive Services.
Okay.
They have similar objectives, and they have also a video which describes an application which does most of what you're looking to solve.
Okay.
That might be of use to you.
Okay, thank you for your suggestion.
So thanks a lot. Sunny Consalvo from Google. That was really interesting work. Thank you. I think your solution brings forth an interesting trade-off, which is it sounds like in order to help this one population with a very real risk, you might be invading the privacy of everyone else. And so I wonder if that came up either when you were talking to people about the potential solutions and what they thought, or how you're planning on dealing with that.
Yeah, actually, some participants said about that. And they said about, like, if I'm using cameras, it will invade others' privacy, and they don't want to do that. So already there are a couple of works that have been trying to understand the bystanders' privacy in the perspective of cameras, but we still need more work. But our plan is just we want to store anything. In that case, if we can inform that this device will be useful for the privacy for visually impaired people, I hope that sighted people will understand it. And if it's not storing anywhere or anything.
Right, but if you're using it for forensics, you have to store something.
Yeah. So in that case, only authorities can view it. No one can else view it. So that's our idea.
There are also some problems with that, potentially.
I know.
But anyway, it's a really hard problem. I'm glad you're working on it, but I hope you really engage in that one.
Yes.
Sven Türpe, Fraunhofer. Thanks for your talk. It's quite interesting. I think I understand the people part of it and why it is important. What I wonder about is the kind of security part. So how much safer would people actually get by that kind of technology? Because, feeling safer may not help you if you aren't actually.
So from the security perspective, it's kind of giving them the awareness that they're missing. Whenever they want to do something sensitive, they don't know what's happening around them. So from this perspective of technology, that might give them the same level of awareness that sighted people have.
I see. But do you have any analysis of how attackers actually work and whether that awareness really helps?
We don't have any analysis, but obviously that can be done in future. Thanks.
Hi. So my original question was very similar to that, but I actually had another one, which was, have you thought about looking into, instead of having sort of a wearable device that's like someone who has limited sight would wear, to potentially build an app that builds off of sort of existing camera systems in the built environment?
Can you please repeat? I couldn't hear.
Oh, sorry. So have you thought about looking into incorporating making an application that incorporates cameras and the built environment that already exists? I know that there are certain countries, particularly in Europe, where there are cameras everywhere, but in a number of buildings, there's security cameras in most places, and could you potentially access that?
Yeah.
So just as a, as people said, they don't want to actually wear something. That might be another way.
Right? Yeah. I mean, in a building or in places, we can think about an app. Just an app like which can give them that. In that corner, there is a security camera. That can also be helpful. They might not need to use a camera in right. that case. Yeah, that will be obviously a good suggestion. And another thing that I have not talked is like there is another concerns of like the device wearer's privacy. And we have found some interesting examples. And please look at our paper and you'll find some other interesting facts that was not discussed in the presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.